by the word of their testimony. It's all right to go out and tell people the good things that God has done. Amen. Amen. Again, we're so glad to have you with us today. I'm honored to see so many guests. One of our guests today, I'm very happy that she's here today, and that's Mother Eaton. So glad to have you, Mother. Thank you for being here today. Amen. God bless you, ma'am. If you go out 13 South, you'll see a church on the right called Eaton Temple. Mother Eaton and her family, her late husband, are the founders of that church. Amen. And she is a great woman of God, and I'm so glad that she's with us today. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, want to follow along with me, we'll be coming out of Luke chapter 2. Amen. While you're finding that, I want to tell you we have a Christmas meal prepared next door at our fellowship hall, our life center. So please make plans after service today and stay with us and share a meal and fellowship one with another. So everyone is welcome. We have plenty of food. One thing about us is we always overdo it with food. So thank you for those that help prepare. But please stay, share a meal with us today. Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Are you going to wake up and help me preach today? Amen. About half of y'all, the rest of y'all coming along. Luke chapter 2, let's start in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the anointing that is upon your word. And I ask you now, O God, that you would anoint these lips of clay, that I can speak what thus saith the Lord to your people today. I ask you, God, that you would help us all to open up our hearts and open up our minds, God, that we can receive from you what you would have for us to. And Father, we'll be sure to give you all the praise, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God today. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the thought, is there room in your inn? Is there room in your inn? You know, we've heard it said many times that God has our entire life planned out for us even before we were born. And this statement is true. Just like God told Jeremiah, he said, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." He has plans and provisions of what he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. And he even has the provisions lined up that we will need to accomplish his will for our lives. Our part is just learning how to trust God and make room for his plans in our lives. Amen. You got to make room for God in your life. A lot of people will say, well, preacher, I don't know what God's plan is, and I'm having a hard time following God's plan. And my question back to you is, have you made room for God in your life? Many times we're so busy and we get so wrapped up in doing our own thing and following our own plans and doing it like we want to do it that we don't make plans for God in our lives. And then we get upset with God when things don't work out like we wanted them to, but we didn't stop long enough to say, God, is this really your plan for my life? Or God, is this just me? Amen. God has plans of what he wants us to do. Many folks have their own plans for their lives and their own ideas of how they're going to get there, which doesn't leave much room for God. And people get upset and start questioning God when things don't work out like they thought they should have worked out. But they so easily forget that they chose their own path. And they didn't ask God, God, is it your will for me to do this? God, is this part of your plan? That's why when the Amalekites invaded Ziklag, and the Bible said that David inquired of the Lord and said, Lord, shall I pursue? In other words, David said, God, I don't want to chase after it if it's something you've removed from my life. God, I don't want to get out of your will, even though I'm hurting, God, and even though they stole my family, God. God, if it's not your will for me to chase after them, I won't go after them. And we got to get a heart like that. That's why the Bible said, even though David made a lot of mistakes, even though David messed up a lot, he was still a man after God's own heart because he knew how to seek God. Amen. People so easily forget that they choose their own path instead of God's plans. You see, if we choose to follow our own plans, we can't expect to have divine provision, because only when it's God's will it be God's bill. Amen. There's a lot of people want to step out and step off into stuff without consulting God and then expect God to pay for it. Hello? Hello? Come on now. You knew you couldn't afford that new car when you signed them papers. And you saying God's going to make a way. But you got a Cadillac desire, but a Pinto budget. And you over here crying, going, God, you got to help me pay this bill. And God said, I didn't tell you to make it. Hello? And then we get mad at God when they show up and repo it. Get mad at the bank and want to call and cuss them out. Come on. And the bank said, we let you get 4 months behind. Well, you're supposed to have mercy. We did for 4 months. And then folks get mad at God. And we go out and we make boneheaded decisions, and then we want to get mad at God when it don't work out. And God goes, I didn't tell you to do that. We go marry somebody out of God's will, and then we come to church wearing sunshades because our eyes all swole up. And God's telling you, I didn't tell you to marry him to start with. That's why the Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. A lot of times we let lust and everything else join us together, and God's not even in it, and then we get mad at God when it doesn't work out. If you are single in this house, make sure God sends you who you're supposed to be with. Amen. Don't be looking at hips, lips, and fingertips. Start saying, God, is this the person that you have for me? Because can you still love them when hips start sagging? I've lost all my amens, mother. Yeah. Brother, she ain't always going to look like she did when she was 21. And neither are you. I had hair and didn't have a gut at 21. Let's move on. I'm getting some ugly looks. We love to hear preaching and teaching about the benefits of being a Christian, and everybody loves to shout about it. But how many of you know You don't get the benefits unless you do the job. If you were to go out and hire on with a company and they say, we'll pay you this much an hour for 40 hours a week, and this is your job responsibilities. Well, if you don't do your job and you show up on Friday to get your check, are they going to look at you like you're crazy? You didn't show up for work. You didn't hold up to your end of the bargain, so you're not going to get the benefits that was promised to you. Now, let me help you. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. That means all the benefits of God are for you, but you got to do the work. The word of God will work if you work it. A lot of people want the benefits, but they don't want to do the job. It's kind of like, I'm gonna just stay on my couch all day and eat Cheetos and watch Days of Our Lives. Does that still come on? Oh, y'all like, I don't know, like you lying. Stay on our couch, but then expect to get our check on Friday. Think about it. We've got to do what God tells us to do, follow God's plan for our life if we want to have the divine provision that God speaks about. God told Moses, he said, I want you to lead 3 million people out of Egypt and into the wilderness. Moses didn't know how he was going to feed them. Moses didn't know how he was going to clothe them. Moses didn't know where he was going to get water for them. But he knew that he had a word from God. And if he walked out into the wilderness with 3 million people, that God would cause bread to fall out of heaven. God would cause water to come out of a rock. God would cause their clothes not to wear out. Why? Because when you are following God's plan for your life, it unlocks divine provision. Hallelujah. If you're not enjoying divine provision in your house, you better check whose plan you're following. Amen. God has provision in place for us to accomplish everything He has planned for us, but we must follow those plans, His plans. And to do that, we have to make room for those. We got to make room in our lives for God's plan. You see, and this just doesn't apply to lost folks. There are folks today that are saved who still have not made room for God's plans in their life. Why? Because God has saved you right where you're at. But you have to be willing to submit yourself to God's plans and follow after them. That is when you have to deny self and take up God's plan for your life and begin to walk it out. Y'all all right this morning? There's many folks who are saved, though, who haven't made room for God's plans. Why? Because many times God's plans don't appear to be as secure as our plans. Our plans, we can add it out on paper. Our plans, we can figure it out. Our plans, we got it, well, in 6 months I'll be here, and in a year I'll be here. God's plans usually require stepping out on nothing and believing God to make it something. God told Abraham when he was 80 years old, said, leave your father's house and everything you ever known and start walking. I'm not even going to tell you where you're going, but I'll tell you when you get there. Think about the faith that it took for him to do that. God just said, start walking. When you get there, I'll see you there. Abraham had to leave everything he had ever known. You talk about a challenge to follow God's will for your life. But look what happened. Whew. Abraham became known as the friend of God, the father of the nation of Israel. Why? Because an act of obedience. Whew. An act of obedience. Oh, my God. The Bible says God requires obedience more than sacrifice. Some of you need to go ahead and start obeying what God has called you. I feel the anointing of God. Somebody needs to start obeying what God has called you to do. And when you do that, it's going to unlock the provision that you need. If you will just get over yourself and start doing what God called you to do, quit fighting it. God's going to open up heaven for you, and He is going to bless you if you will get past yourself and start following God. Somebody needs to hear that today. Get out of the way and let God be God. Well, I just don't trust nobody else to handle it. Well, if you don't trust God, you got problems. He's been God a long time. He was God before you. He'll be God after you. And He don't need our help being God. You know, it's awesome that people want, it's crazy that people want to help God be God. Well, God, I'm going to pray and I'm going to put it in your hands, but I'm going to help you out a little bit. God, I'm going to forgive them, but I'm going to call them and give them a chance to apologize. And then if they don't apologize, God, I know it wasn't your will. God wants you to forgive them whether they ever say they're sorry. God wants you to love them whether they hate you. God wants you to bless them if they never say thank you. Why? Because how many times does God bless us and we don't even say thank you? How many times does God do for us and we don't ever say we sorry? Come on. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we ever said we were sorry, Jesus gave his life in our place. Let me tell you something. If he can do that and we are supposed to be Christ-like, then we should be able to do the same. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Following God's plans usually involve walking by faith. On the other hand, our plans involve walking by sight. So whether or not we walk according to God's plan, it's totally up to us and hinges is if we make room for him. Let's jump into this morning. When the angel appeared unto Mary, Mary was just as human as you and I. She wasn't some part of the deity. She wasn't some supernatural being. She was just as human as we are. Scholars indicate that she was around the age of 15 or 16 years old when the angel appeared to her. She was just a child herself when God appeared to her and rolled up on her. And he says, Mary, you are highly favored among women. God has a plan for your life. Check this out. Mary was just as human as we are. The angel Gabriel appeared unto her and told her of God's plan for her life. But watch what Mary did. She listened to what the angel had to say. But then Mary made a profound statement that I believe we read over many times. She told the angel, she said, be it unto me as your word. In other words, she said, be it unto me as your word. This doesn't mean that Mary didn't have other plans for her life. She was engaged to Joseph. I'm sure she was planning her wedding. We're actually doing that for Haley. My credit card, I've had to shock it a few times and bring it back to life. Mary was planning her wedding, and she was probably getting her house ready and wanting to decorate and getting all these things and thinking about what all her plans were for her life. But then God interrupted her plans. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful God interrupted Mary's plans, and I'm thankful that God interrupted my plans. And I know today, if you'll be honest, you ought to thank God that he interrupted the plans for your life because you were going down a road on your way to hell, but God interrupted your plans and said, I got a better life for you. I got new life for you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to pick you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on a rock and put a new song in your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She listened to the angel and said, be it unto me at your word. She decided to put all of her plans aside and follow God's plan for her life. You see, the provision was already made, but Mary had to make room for it. And watch this. She has to give God permission. She has to give God permission to place the child within her. Be it unto me as your word. You see, God has plans for our lives, but he will not force them upon us. Yesterday, myself and Matt was over in Hattiesburg, and we ran into a guy, and he was just a cussing and fussing, and every breath was a cuss word. And then he sat down and he said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. And immediately he started asking me Bible questions. Kind of reminded me of the woman at the well. Jesus told her, says, go find your husband. And she said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you said right. You've had five husbands and you shacked up right now. And she said, ooh, I perceive that you are a prophet. And then she says, our forefather said we should worship here. And you know, isn't it funny when people find out that you saved, they get all religious. Anyway, we got to talking to this guy, and he said, I got a question for you. He said, if God knows everything, the beginning and the end, I said, I believe that. He said, then why did God set up Adam and Eve for failure? I said, explain. He says, if God knew that Eve was going to eat of the tree, then why did he even put the tree in the garden? I said, that's a good question. I said, but I got a good answer. I said, because if God had not put the ability for man to sin in the garden, then he would have been forcing them to live right. God created us with the ability to choose. So he put the tree in the garden and man could choose whether they wanted to live right or whether they wanted to sin. God will never force anything on us. Some of you come to a Pentecostal church and you're worried to death about the Holy Ghost jumping on you. It's not going to jump on you. Okay? You got to be open to it. You got to open your heart to the Holy Ghost. Just like God's not going to force you to get saved. God's not going to force you to quit drinking. Hello? God's not going to force you to quit smoking. God's not going to force you to quit putting a needle in your arm. God's not going to force you to quit doing meth. Hello, I have lost all my amens in the house. But that's all right. I'm under the anointing right now. God's not going to force you to quit taking pills. Hello, you've got to make a conscious effort that you want to clean your life up and then God will help you. You've got to begin to follow God's plan for your life, because until you do that, you will never be free. Hello? Y'all all right? You say, preacher, you meddling. It's time to meddle. People are dying and going to hell, and we got to quit playing church. Amen. You can come to church and you can shout and you can fall out on the floor. That don't mean nothing to me. What means something to me is your life bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Is your life showing what you're shouting about? Some people just shout so they don't feel guilty. They come to the altar and want to shout their guilt off. Why? Because they feel so bad, because they've lived like hell all week long and they want to come to church and shout about it. Amen? Amen. Y'all say, this is Christmas. Hey, Jesus came to die for your sins, not so you could continue to live in sin, not so you could continue to live bound, not so you could continue to walk around in defeat. Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He didn't come so you could walk around bound by some kind of pill, bound by some kind of drug, bound by some kind of addiction, bound by sickness, bound by your past, bound by pain, bound by bitterness. He come to set you free, because the scripture teaches us, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. My God, I feel the anointing of God this morning. Hallelujah. We got to be willing to submit ourselves to what God has for us. You see, many times people get the mentality that if God wants them to do something, it'll fall in their lap. And they're basically going to be pushed into it. But it doesn't work like that. We have to consciously submit to God's plan and watch it unfold. Did the angel tell Mary everything? No, he did not. You know, watch this. The angel came to Mary and said, thou shalt conceive, bring forth a son. His name will be Jesus. He'll be the Son of God. He shall save their people from their sins. Did the angel tell Mary anything about the cross? He did not. We have to be willing to submit to God's plan even when we don't see the plan fully. Why? Because many times God will not give you the whole plan. He'll say, you go this far, and then I'll give you a little more. You go this far, and I'll give you a little more. And some of you may be walking with God and say, I don't even know where I'm going. I don't even know where this is going to end up. But I'm telling you, keep walking. Keep walking. And if you'll keep trusting God, he'll keep opening up doors. He'll keep revealing his plan for your life if you just trust him. The angel didn't tell Mary anything about the cross. All that unfolded as she went on. We got to make sure that we understand. We won't get God's full plan to start with, because some of us can't handle it. God would have told you where you would be 10 years ago, where you'd be right now, it would have blown your mind. Why? Because you'd have thought this one would have never left you. Hello? You'd have thought you'd always run with this one. You thought you'd never be right here. Some of you never thought you'd have been in a Pentecostal church full of the Holy Ghost, tongue talking. Come on now. Some of you thought you'd have still been married to this one, or you'd have still been going through this one, or that you wouldn't have had to face the loss of this one. God's plan would have freaked you out if he'd have gave it all to you. So we got to learn to trust God and that he gives us enough of the plan to keep walking. We got to trust that he gives us enough that we don't have to know the end. We got to be walk like Abraham and just walk. God, I'm trusting you. I have no idea where this is going to end up, but I'm trusting you. God, I'm gonna trust you, God. Let me help you right here. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my light bill, but I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm trusting you, God. And guess what? The Bible teaches us, if we'll work it, that if we will give our tithes and offering into the storehouse of God, that he will open up windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you that you don't have room enough to contain them. Amen. You got to learn how to start walking by faith and quit walking by sight and do what God told you to do, and God will open up divine provision for you. I'm trying to help you this morning. We got to learn how to walk by faith. We got too many people in the body of Christ that are walking by what they can figure out. Well, I'll do it if I can. God didn't ask if you could. He just said do it. And then he'll fill in all the gaps. Come on, folks. I'm trying to help you this morning. Hallelujah. We may not know the full plan to start with, but we can trust God's word. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. That means God's not going to start something in you that he won't finish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God won't start something that he won't finish. So you may not know the whole story, but you can walk with confidence knowing that God's going to finish it. Mary didn't care that she was only a teenager. Mary didn't care that she wasn't even married. And she didn't even know how she was going to take care of the baby. All she knew is that she had heard from God. You see, Mary was at a very pivotal point in her life. She was engaged to Joseph. And as the custom of those times, if Mary became pregnant out of wedlock, and Joseph saying, it's not mine, he could have legally had her stoned. That is why the Bible says when Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant, Joseph knew that it was not his. The Bible said he was a just man and wanted to put her away privately. In other words, Joseph wanted to have a private divorce from Mary. Because if he would have made it public, custom said she would have had to been killed. So you got to understand, when Mary said, Lord, be it unto me as your word, she said, God, your plan may cost me my life, but be it unto me as your word. What faith it took for this teenage girl to say, God, even if your plan kills me, be it unto me as your word. My gosh, if there's a teenage girl that'll say, I'll give my life for God's plan, what is our excuse? We can't follow God long enough to walk across the street. Come on. She said, if it costs me my life, God, I'm going to follow you. God, I'll follow your plan. But the angel told Mary, said, you're highly favored among women. You see, when you know that you're favored of God and you got a word from God, you shouldn't worry about anything else. When God's hand is on your life, and you've heard from God, you shouldn't worry about anything else. Don't worry about how am I going to pay for it. Don't worry about how am I going to succeed. You follow after God and you let God be God. And you just keep walking. Hello? Regardless of how it looks or what other folks think, you know, stop worrying about people validating what you've heard from God. If you got to run around and get people to validate it, are you trusting people or are you trusting God? One of the first things we do when we hear a word from God is we run around and we tell somebody to see if they'll validate it. And that's where we mess up many times. There's some things you got to keep to yourself. and you trust God. Why? Because when you go tell everybody else what God's doing in your life, guess what? Who's listening? The enemy. The enemy does not have the power to read your mind. Only God can do that. So when you're running around telling everything God's got for you, trying to get people to validate it, you're giving the enemy all the fuel that he needs to try to block it. Sometimes you got to get a word from God and you just walk around and people goes, what you smiling about? Nothing. What's God speaking to you? Not your business. Why? Because there are professional faith killers out there. They are people that no matter what God lays on your heart to do, they're going to tell you why you can't do it. These people tell me all the time, you can't have a multicultural church in South Mississippi. I'm like, watch me. Thank you. Amen. They have people tell you all the time that you can't do this. So many times I'm just walking by and people will say, man, I've been hearing good stuff about the church. And I'm like, that's right. Well, I didn't know y'all was going to do that. That's right. I don't tell it. I just let God do it. Come on now. We don't need man's validation when you've heard from God. Watch this. Regardless of how it looks or what other folks think, because people may not hear what you hear. That's why you got to find yourself around other folks that have heard a word from God. That's why as soon as the angel appeared to Mary, she said, I got to go see Elizabeth. Why? Because 6 months prior, the same angel had appeared to them. You see, when you're following after God, you're going to start being attracted to other people who are following God. You're going to be attracted to other people who've heard from God. That's why I can't be around negative people. Negative folks jerk my nerves. If everything you say is, well, I don't know about this, and I don't know about this, I can't hang out with you. First of all, I'm going to get on your nerves because all I do is cut up most of the time. People say, well, how do you get so serious in the pulpit? I was like, I don't know, it's God. Because when I step out of the pulpit, I lose it all. I can't be around negative people. I can't run with negative people. I can't run with faith killers. I can't run with people that don't walk by faith. Why? Because I'm a very faith-driven person. I believe God's going to do what God said he would do, and I don't worry about it. Folks ask me, how are you gonna pastor that big church? How are you going to pay those big notes? It's like, I don't worry about it. I do what God called me to do, and the money takes care of itself. The people take care of itself, and everything works out according to God's plan when we follow after God. So when you know that you are submitted to God, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God is going to take care of it, because what did I tell you at the beginning of this message? When it is God's will, you will tap into divine provision. Amen. Y'all still with me? So Mary runs straight to Elizabeth. You got to get around other folks that's heard from God. The Bible said as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's salutations, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened? The two gifts, the gift inside of Elizabeth and the gift inside of Mary, started celebrating each other. You see, there's people that you can get around, amen, that the gifts on the inside of you begin to celebrate each other. That you begin to, you know, you ever been around somebody, like when I get around Mother Eaton, and she comes to my office, and we just get to talking, and guess what? The Holy Ghost falls in my office, and we both begin to speak in another language. Let me tell you something. When you get around folks, that your gifts begin to celebrate each other. Then on the other hand, you get around some folks, and your gift goes, they messed up. Hello? If you are tuned into the Spirit of God, you can get around some folks and God will start showing you things. Hello? So let me tell you something. As your pastor, just because you get in this altar and you shout and you want to fall out and you want to jump up and throw your hands, don't think you're fooling nobody. Woo! Let me get up here before I get run off. When you get around certain folks, it causes your gifts to start celebrating each other. In other words, your baby starts leaping. Watch this. So Mary and Elizabeth are celebrating each other. And poor old Joseph. He's over here going, man, where did I mess up? Well, I picked the craziest chick I could find. Oh, y'all so holy. If your spouse come up to you and said, I'm pregnant, but I hadn't been with nobody, it's from the Lord, y'all ain't going to hear angels and church bells. Y'all going to be like, you lying heifer. What's his name? Where does he live? Y'all act like y'all have been. Joseph had to struggle with this. He was a man. And his woman was pregnant, and she claimed it was by God and not by another man. And y'all think y'all have been cool with that. I'd have been so mad. I'd have been like, Mary, you got to go. I don't care where you go, but you got to get out of here. Go back to your mama and your daddy. I ain't fixing to marry you. If you already acting like this and we ain't married, let me stop right there. Single folks, if they crazy when you dating them, they gonna still be crazy when you marry them. If they putting their hands on you when you dating them, they gonna put their hands on you when you marry them. If they are addicted when you date them, they gonna stay addicted when you marry them. You will not be able to change them. The only thing that can change them is them getting saved and getting born again. Let me help you. Quit marrying somebody thinking you're gonna change them. Hello? Let God send you who you need. Amen. Let me move on. Like Maya Angelou said, when they show you who you are the first time, what? Believe them. Let's move on. So Joseph's sitting over here, Mary and Elizabeth, they all shouting over the babies prophesied by God. Joseph's over there probably mad. What they shouting about? Why are they so happy? It ain't even mine. So Joseph goes to sleep, and the Lord speaks to him in a dream. Why? God had to give Joseph a word. Why? Because God said, Joseph, if you're going to hang with Mary and Elizabeth, you got to have some word too. He said, because what is in them is too important to be linked up with anybody that doubts. Let me help you right here. Do you remember when Jairus' daughter died? And they called Jesus, and Jairus said, Lord, if you just show up, my little girl is going to be all right. But when they was on the way, they came and said, don't bother Jesus no more. Your little girl has died. And Jesus told Jairus, said, don't worry, just keep believing. They got there. And Jesus said, why are you all crying? And he said, the little girl's not dead, she's asleep. And the Bible said they laughed him to scorn. But the Bible also says when Jesus put them out. In other words, Jesus said, if you ain't believing what I'm fixing to do, then you got to step. It is okay for you to put people out of your life that does not believe in what God's doing in your life. It's all right. You don't have to feel bad about it. You don't have to apologize for it. If they're not believing what God's doing in your life, put them out. Well, we've been friends since we were kids. It don't matter if they're your real friend. They'll celebrate what God's doing in your life. If you lose friends because you follow after God, they weren't your friend to start with. These folks that are leeches, that they'll suck you until they get everything they need out of you, and then they gone. Hello? That's why my circle of friends is about that big. Let's move on. So, Joseph took Mary to Bethlehem. And I got to hurry. Joseph took Mary to Bethlehem to be counted for the census. And the Bible says at this time Mary was great with child. Mary was great with child. In other words, she was obviously pregnant. She didn't have to have a shirt that said baby on board. Or they didn't have a sticker hanging off the back of their mule that said drive careful, baby on board. She was obviously pregnant. And here she is having to go on a long journey. I'm sure they had to stop every 5 miles and let her find some bushes. Oh, y'all, everybody knows a pregnant woman has to use bathroom every 15 minutes. Come on. She's obviously pregnant, great with child, riding on a donkey, I don't think she was probably in the best of moods. Can you imagine the fear in Joseph's voice when he said, we got to travel? Pregnant women walk or waddle, especially at their ninth month, going, get it out. Get it out. And they'll even have the demonic voice change if you're not careful. Just kidding, guys. Here's Mary and Joseph traveling. She's great with child. Going, okay, we got to go to Bethlehem. She's obviously pregnant. They get to the hotel and there's a no vacancy sign up. Here's a woman, obviously pregnant, not in the best of mood, her feet probably swole. She just wants to get a bath and lay down. And Joseph goes to the hotel and they says, there's no room. He probably got an earful. I told you we should have stopped in town before. Oh, the men are all looking down. Why? Because when you travel with your wife and you pull up somewhere and it ain't what they want, I told you we should have stopped 50 miles back. I told you not to turn left right there. I told you it was right. But you won't listen to me because you the man. Even pastor's wives do that. Let me move on. So I just make it so cold in the car, they cover up the blanket and go to sleep. Then I can drive. Brothers, when you travel, bump it down to about 58 in the car. Bring them a blanket. They will go to sleep, and you can drive in peace. So next time when y'all get ready to travel and you put a blanket in the car, I'm sorry, but your wife, oh, so you want me to go to sleep, huh? Pastor said if you do that, blame it on me. Let's move on. So Mary is obviously pregnant. How many of you know that the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word. So here is Mary obviously pregnant with a Word. And they say, we ain't got room for you. How many times do we run across people who are obviously pregnant with a Word, but we won't receive it into our lives? We won't receive it into our end. Mary's pregnant with the Son of God, referred to the Word. She was carrying the Word that could change their lives, and they wouldn't make room for it. How many times do we sit in service? Preacher is preaching under the anointing of God. They are pregnant with the Word of God. And we sit there and we don't receive it because we don't like the way they were dressed. We don't like the tone that they used. Or the message hurt our feelings a little bit. Hey, if it hits you between the eyes, it's for you. Why? Because God loves you enough to give your pastor the Word to preach for you. I'm just a mailman. Don't be hating on me. If the mailman brings you your light bill, you don't go out and beat him up. If you do, you got problems. My mailman's dropped some light bills at my house. I wanted to chase him down and give it back. They're like, you got the wrong address. So, Mary's pregnant with the Word, but they wouldn't make room. Sister Beverly, would you come? Mary's pregnant with the Word. They wouldn't make room. I wonder what went through the innkeeper's mind that night when he found out Mary had birthed the baby. Angels were singing. People were coming to worship the baby. I wonder what went through the innkeeper's mind when he said, I could have been part of this. I wonder if the innkeeper thought, if I'd have knew this, I'd have gave him my own bed. How many times does God's plan begin to unfold and then we're sitting around going, gosh, I wish I could be part of it, and we had the chance to be, but we wouldn't make room for that. Can I tell you something? God is doing amazing things on the face of this earth today. God's doing amazing things at this church, at our other churches. God's doing amazing things all around this county, all around this state, all around this nation. But as it begins to unfold, we can sit around and rejoice that we're in it. Or we can sit around with regret and saying, I wish I'd have made room for that. I'd love to be where you are right now, but I didn't stop to make room for God's plans. I'll tell you something. Do you want to be a part of what God's doing? You got to ask yourself, is there room in my life for what God's doing? Is there room in my life for what God's doing? Mary gave birth to the baby, wrapped him in rags, laid him in a feed trough. The people in the inn wouldn't make room for this precious gift. So God said, I got to have somebody to celebrate this gift. So he said there were shepherds in the field watching their flocks. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord came upon them, shone round about them. Hey, God's going to find somebody that's going to do his will. Now you can either be part of it, or God says, I got somebody else that'll do it. I don't know about you, but I don't want somebody else to do my part. You know, when Jesus entered the city and they were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they told him to be quiet. Jesus said, if they be quiet, the very rocks of this city is going to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. God's always going to have somebody. Let me tell you something. You say, well, I just don't know if it's for me, preacher. That's your choice. But don't get mad at God when he raises up your replacement. When Elijah was up under a juniper tree crying for God to kill him because he said he was the last one left, God said, go anoint Elisha in your stead. In other words, God said, if you won't do it, go anoint your replacement. Tell you something. You can either say, I want to follow God's plan, or not. That's your choice. But don't get mad at God when he raises up your replacement, because God always has somebody. The innkeeper and those in the inn could have been the ones celebrating it, but they didn't make room for God. And God said, that's all right. That's your choice. But I got some people over here that'll make room, and I'm going to raise them up. That's why I believe we are fixing to see God raise up people out of nowhere. Because folks sitting on the church pews have got to the point that they don't want to make room for God no more. They want to come to church and go through the motions and just feel good about themselves, and serving God's not a big deal anymore. And God says, that's all right. That's your choice. But don't be mad when I start calling them from the wilderness into the forefront. Don't be mad when I start calling them out of bondage, when I start calling them out of the field to come in and be at the forefront. Is there room in your inn? Have you made room for God? Would you stand with me all over the house this morning, if you're able to do so? Have you made room for God? Would you join hands with the person standing next to you? It's the Christmas season. Everybody will be giving gifts in the next few days. Can I tell you something? God wants a gift from you. You know what that gift is? Your life. God, here's my life. And I'm not talking about just lost folks. I'm talking about saved folks that'll say, God, okay, I'm giving it over to you. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. And as you have that person's hand next to you, let's just go into the Lord in prayer, and let's rededicate our lives to God. Would you do that with me today? Father God, come before you today. God, I'm thanking you for these amazing people. God, I ask that you help us all, God, to rededicate ourselves to following your plans. God, not my will, but your will be done. God, not what I want, but what you want. God, not my plans, but your plans. God, not my desires, but your desires. God, not my ideas, but your ideas. God, I totally and completely submit myself afresh and anew to your will, to your plans, to what you want for me to do, God. God, where you lead me, I will follow. Where you want me to go, God, I will go. What you want me to do, God, I will do. I trust you, God, and I yield myself completely to you.
to your will today. Oh God, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for coming and giving your life that we could have eternal life, that we could be saved and redeemed. God, we love you and we praise you. We give you glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. The church said amen and amen. Man, can you give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. We're missing some of our family, but we've picked up another one. That's all right. She's fine. Hey, we're family. We're family. So, I want you to know that we love you. And from our family to yours, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. I pray that God blesses you and that he's with you. That God's got wonderful plans for you. I want to encourage each of you to stay just a few moments and eat lunch with us. If you would, let's let our seniors get in line first. And any of our visitors, please go to the front of the line. We want to just love on you. Amen. Share Jesus with somebody. I'm going to tell you, there's no greater gift that you could give anybody than sharing Jesus Christ with them this Christmas.